Ever wondered who really runs the business world? Wake up using Gillette products, take medications from Merck, put on Levi's, eat Sara Lee, and turn on GE lights. Congratulations, you've just interacted with five companies run by Harvard MBAs or ex-McKinsey consultants. This isn't coincidence. Management consulting represents a shadowy power structure that shapes global commerce while remaining deliberately opaque to outsiders. Martin Kinn's House of Lies pulls back the curtain on this $250-plus billion industry with the irreverent insider perspective of someone who lived it. The odds of joining this elite club? About 488 billion to 1 from birth to McKinsey partner. That makes winning an Oscar, a mere 3 million to 1, look like a casual weekend achievement. The consulting ecosystem operates as a closed loop of influence. Former consultants become clients, creating a self-perpetuating machine that extends beyond business into government policy, nonprofit leadership, and global economics. What's most fascinating isn't just the industry's reach, but how it maintains power despite delivering questionable value. The secret? A carefully constructed facade of expertise, proprietary frameworks that repackage common sense, and linguistic sleight of hand that transforms simple ideas into seemingly profound insights. Meet the Rainmaker, a partner whose biography is largely fiction. Only 28% of his book jacket claims are likely true. His boast about leading 200 consultants? Exaggerated. His published book, ghostwritten by a young colleague. His networking follows the consultant playbook, scanning rooms over your shoulder, name-dropping, and abandoning conversations for more important people. He schedules overlapping breakfasts, treating each person as disposable. Though he nearly failed as a consultant due to poor analysis skills, he thrived in sales, quickly securing clients through family connections. After joining McKinsey, he erased all positive references to his former employer, now calling it merely a mid-sized consulting firm. He falsely claimed McKinsey is the world's largest consulting firm while still boasting about managing the same 200 consultants, though none followed him. This reveals consulting's uncomfortable truth. Perception management trumps substance, and success comes to those who master appearing successful rather than being truly expert. Ever been in a meeting where someone used impressive-sounding jargon but said absolutely nothing? That's consulting's core competency. Consultants aren't hired for expertise, but for fact-finding and presentation skills. Appearing expert-like is essential for survival. In one disastrous meeting with liquor executives, an unprepared consultant discovered two essential panic buttons, flattering clients and asking for their opinions. Pressing both caused clients to argue among themselves, creating the perfect scenario where consultants can check out and look concerned. The Complete Consultant's Dictionary contains fewer than 200 terms that create an aura of authority while seeming meaningful. Key entries include bandwidth, partner attention, boil the ocean, do too much, deck, PowerPoint, leverage, use, and robust, good. Most telling is we, defined as them, the client. Consultants use we when referring to client organizations, creating a fiction of teamwork that masks their outsider status. Feedback Camp epitomizes corporate assessment theater, a retreat where consultants gather to master critique. Participants complete extensive self-assessments, while colleagues rate them across numerous metrics, creating a false objectivity over subjective judgments. The camp features an excessively positive moderator, whose mantra, "Hear it and act on it," becomes a constant refrain despite participants' private skepticism. This forced enthusiasm creates an almost cult-like environment, where questioning equals resistance to growth. The Listening Styles inventory reveals consultants score high, 9 out of 10, on analytical listening, but low, 3 out of 10, on empathetic listening, a discrepancy noted but never addressed. The experience includes juvenile team-building exercises like Acid River and Web of Pain, with business casual consultants navigating artificial challenges created by other consultants hired to train consultants. The true purpose becomes clear when a consultant who questioned these exercises is later terminated for failure to listen effectively. The 360-degree feedback system creates an illusion of fairness while enabling predetermined outcomes, revealing how consulting firms use complexity to obscure simple truths. The consulting lifestyle centers on perpetual travel and hotel living. Consultants meet in lobbies at 7:45 a.m. to carpool to client sites, with driving arrangements reflecting hierarchy. Associates drive while partners ride as passengers. Hotel life demands torpor management strategies to fight exhaustion. Common consultant mistakes include trusting unreliable digital alarm clocks, overheating rooms, completely closing window shades, neglecting dental care, and ordering movies only to fall asleep immediately. Loyalty programs dominate consultant conversations. Firms promote keeping your points as compensation for travel hardships, yet the rewards rarely justify the sacrifice. One associate flew countless indirect routes for top airline status, receiving only an unwearable logo bathrobe. Team dinners expose consulting's hierarchy. Everyone keeps coats on, ready for a quick exit. The highest-ranking partner controls conversation by protocol. Partners, 75% to 78%, principals, 20%, associates limited to agreeing or laughing. Despite claims of being non-bureaucratic, team dinners reveal a rigid, pitiless system of caste unseen outside Delhi since 1951. Only hotel points, the currency of their nomadic existence, reliably energize exhausted consultants. Consultants operate under strict confidentiality rules established post-World War II. They cannot reveal client names to anyone, not even spouses. This secrecy creates tension, as when Barbara, a hostile client executive, questions this practice, suggesting consultants maintain confidentiality because you're making it up. This tradition runs deep. Bain consultants historically had no business cards. McKinsey refers to consultants by first name and initial only, and BCG never publicly acknowledges clients. The standard 20% added to professional fees for expenses, roughly $2,000 weekly for associates, $5,000 for partners, often irritates clients more than the actual fees. A case at a Midwest auto parts manufacturer shows how consultants become pawns in corporate politics. When evaluating Casanova software for executive Tina, the consultant's critical report about IT leader Kelly's champion software triggers an emergency meeting and the consultant's removal. Months later, Kelly has left for personal reasons, while Tina has been appointed VP, revealing how consultants often serve as tools in corporate power struggles rather than objective advisors. 1 year after his career-threatening mistake, our consultant receives an unexpected promotion to senior associate, highlighting the industry's peculiar relationship with failure and success. At a Columbia recruiting event, he finds himself effortlessly delivering corporate platitudes about great exposure and smart colleagues, privately amazed at how naturally these lines now flow from him, almost like the truth. This transformation reveals consulting's deepest paradox. Practitioners simultaneously maintain two conflicting mindsets, privately acknowledging their work's limitations while publicly defending it. They recognize the artificial nature of consulting frameworks and inherent conflicts of interest, yet perpetuate these practices. This cognitive dissonance persists through financial golden handcuffs, status within executive circles, and valuable professional networks. Even those planning brief stays often extend their tenure. The industry thrives not by consistently delivering measurable value, but by serving essential functions, providing consultants with status while offering clients political cover and external validation, creating a trillion-dollar industry that flourishes despite fundamental contradictions.